Mother's Day. Today is kind of a special message, and it's a different kind of message, and I hope it really hits home to not just the ladies, but to all of us. And I called it this morning, or I titled it, "You Can't Give That Which You Don't Have, and You Can't Have That Which You're Not Willing to Give." There's a twofold picture in the midst of this. God wants to give. And you have to have before you give, but if you're not going to use it, God's not going to give it to you. So there's some things in the midst of where we are that is important. Now, every Mother's Day, a pastor comes up with Proverbs 31. And all the ladies are going, "Oh my gosh, I hate that passage." You know, because it's like, I can't live up to the Proverbs 31 kind of mindset. And candidly, there is not one woman, and I don't mean to hurt your feelings, but there is not one woman in this church that meets Proverbs 31. Everybody falls short of Proverbs 31, and it's okay, because God said specifically that no one's perfect, no, not one. You know, you guys don't go out and grow hay today. You don't cut it. You know, you don't make your clothes out of fresh wool. You don't do those kinds of things. But I do want to show you, it's not how you start in life. It's how we finish in life that is so important. Proverbs 31 and verse 30 says, "Charm is deceitful and beauty is vain. But a woman who fears the Lord, she will be praised. Give her the product of her hand and let her works praise her in the gates." You know, you can look at a woman and see who she is. You know, you don't have to have someone go, you know, there is not a woman, and I'm just jealous, in this church that's got a bigger heart than my wife. She's always there. She will always be there. She's willing to help everybody, you know, and her works will praise her. Amen. Amen. She cooked dinner yesterday. We kind of got off track yesterday, big time. But she was like, "Is this Father's Day or is this Mother's Day?" Because it was like chicken fried steak, mashed taters, and we had oatmeal and chocolate chip cookies. They were good. Woo! It was good. And then I woke up this morning to reality going, well, back to grilled chicken and eggs, you know. But it was good. Proverbs 22 and verse 6 says, "Train up a child in the way he should go, and even when he is old, he will not depart from it." Amen. See, it doesn't make any difference if you don't fit the Proverbs 31 kind of woman. What is important here is that you need to be a woman who knows how to praise God. And you need to be a woman who will train up your child in the way that that child should go. People look at church today to go, "I'll take my child to church and I'll let the church." It's not my responsibility to train your child. See, it's your responsibility to train the child off the things that you learned in the Bible. And we come to church and we worship together. But if society would train up their children in the ways that they should go, we wouldn't be living in a society that we have today. Amen. Psalms 146 says, "Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, O my soul." And it says, "I will praise the Lord while I live." Amen. I will sing praises to my God while I have my being. And then it says, "Do not trust in princes. Do not trust in mortal men in whom there is no salvation." See, today, moms, you need to sit down with your kids and train them in the ways that they should go. You need to praise and teach them how to praise, but you need to go, do not put your trust in man, because man's going to fail you. But put your trust in the one that will never fail you, and his name is Jesus Christ, God, and truly the Holy Spirit. Amen. Psalms 147 says, praise the Lord, for it is good to sing to our God. For it's pleasant, and praise is becoming. You know, if you look at church life today and you see a lot of people come in church, they are non-participatory. They sit in church. Sometimes they're the very people that leave to go, I really got nothing out of it. And my only response, which I don't say to them, is, well, you put nothing in it. And the key here is you get out of something what you put in it. And you can't give something away if you don't have it. And God's not going to give it to you if you don't use it. And one of the things that's important for us to teach our children is how to praise God. Because it is good to praise our God. For it is pleasant. And then it says it's becoming. Psalms 148 says, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord from the heavens and praise him in the heights. And then Psalms 148:12 says, both young men and virgins, old men and children. That means everybody in this room needs to praise God. There is a reason that you and I need to learn, and I think it's a process to learn how to praise God. Psalms 149, praise the Lord, sing to the Lord a new song. See, we need a new song. The friend of mine that we've been praying for, his wife passed away the other day. Pretty rough. And I talked to him yesterday, and I said, how you doing? He says, I'm doing good. He says, I'm doing good. And he says, you know, he says, this absence is, and I said, wait a minute. I want you to quit thinking about the word absent, and I want you to think about the word separation. And I also want you to think about that she's not dead. Because as Christians, to be absent from the body means that we are in the presence of Almighty God. So I told him, I said, here's a great thing that I want you to think about today. She's not dead. She's alive. She's just not here. But you have been separated from her. And there's going to be a wonderful day when there's going to be a great reunion. But it says, sing a new song. Well, one of the things that Gordon's got to do, and I told him, this is your time now, Daddy. Teach your family to sing a new song. Because now they have a new song to sing. Psalms 149 and verse 6 says, let the high praises of God be in their mouth. But look at the next. And a two-edged sword in their hand. See, we have to wage war. You got up this morning. You're in a spiritual battle. When you go home this afternoon, you're in a spiritual battle. When you go to bed tonight, you're in a spiritual battle. And when you get up tomorrow and you go to work, you're going to be in a spiritual battle. And God wants us to understand the importance of praise. Because praise is good. Praise needs to be in our mouth. It is a two-edged sword in our hand. The Bible says there is life and there is death in the power of the tongue. And you and I need to start praising God because praise is the best weapon that you and I got. Because if you praise God, you can't think about anything else except God. And if God is in your side and on your side, then nobody at all could be against you. Amen? Now, Psalms 150 says, praise the Lord. So we know we need to praise the Lord. But where do we praise him? First of all, praise God in his sanctuary. Praise him in his mighty expanse. That means on Sunday morning when you come to church, that does not mean that you can be non-participatory. That means you need to get to your feet. That means you need to open your mouth. That means that you are demonstrative in your actions and that you praise the God of God, the King of Kings, and the Lord of Lords, because it's good for you and I to do that. But it also says praise him in his mighty expanse. When we go outside, when you look at the sun, when you see the sunset across the land or across the water, you need to praise him. You need to praise him for his mighty deeds. You got up today. You drove to work today. You're sitting next to your loved ones today. You got so much to praise him for. And then it says, praise him according to his excellent greatness. But how do we praise him? Trumpet? Praise him with harp and lyre? Timbrel and dancing? Oh, my God. You know, it's okay to dance in God's house. It's okay. You know, we all right to go dance at the clubs on Saturday night. But it seems like we're a little inhibited here. But see, here's the problem. When you get drunk at the club, you don't really give a rip, okay? Well, we ought to be able to get drunk of the Holy Spirit and not give a rip in church. And you and I just ought to dance in front of the Lord. We said this the other day. I was talking to B and Gary about dancing. And I said, you know, we need to dance like David danced. And I don't know if it was Marsh or somebody said, does that mean in our underwear? And I went, well, you could, but I'd rather you wouldn't, you know. But it says, praise him with string instruments and a pipe. Praise him with loud cymbals, praise him with resounding cymbals. Let everything, church has got breath, praise the Lord. Well, moms, you need to teach your children how to praise God, because the world is against them. And if we don't teach our children, the world will. And the world will teach our children not to praise God, but to worship the world. And there's a reason, and you're going to find out in a minute, why we need to praise God. Now, I'm going to show you something on this next slide, and I want y'all to go, wait a minute, did you just call me that? Okay. Here's the Hebrew definition of mother, okay? Now, in the Hebrew text, it was written in a picture. So in the original Hebrew pictograph script, the first letter is a picture of an ox. Now, I'm not calling you, mama, an ox, okay? I'm not doing that. So don't leave church today to go, I cannot believe Pastor just called me an ox today. That's not what I'm saying, okay? So it's a picture of an ox, but it is because an ox is strong. And as the ox is strong, the letter also has the meaning strong. The second letter represents water. And when you put the two letters together, it means strong water. Okay? Now, let me show you this. The Hebrews made glue. And they made glue by taking animal skin, putting it in a pot, and they would boil the skin. And the skin would break down, and then there would be a sticky, thick liquid that would form on the top of the water. And that thick liquid was removed as a binding agent that they call strong water. So the Hebrew meaning of a mother is the one who binds her family together. Now, I got to tell you, that's your task. You know, we look at the men are not the strong ones in the home. It's the women who are the strong ones, because they bind, that's your task, is that you bind the family together. Pam brings a lot to me when I kind of go off wayward in ways, and she brings me back to where I need to be. She reels me in, yeah. There has never been a time more than right now in 2018 where the families need to be bound together. Families are absolutely broken apart. 59% today of families are ran by one person home, and most of that is based, I think 54% were women who run their home because daddy's out of the picture today. And that's sad. But it's not about being a Proverbs 31 woman. It's about being a mother who is willing to do what it takes, not moaning, not groaning, but understand your God-given role is to bind your family together. Daddy works a lot, kids living in the world today, and mama's got a full-time task. And your task is to bind it together. But it all begins, Mom, when you're willing to praise God. It all begins with a relationship with God first. Will you understand, if I praise God, if I go to church even if my husband doesn't, then my husband's going to see what's important. Because I need to be the one that's filled up because of the task that lies ahead. See, the title of the message today was, you can't give what you don't have. If you don't learn how to praise, you can't give praise to your kids. You can't teach your children how to praise. And, you know, if you can't give what you don't have, you're not going to have what you need to give. And our kids need something today that the world can't offer. Amen. And that's praise to our God. Jude says this, but you, beloved, build yourself up on the most holy faith. And then it says praying in the Holy Spirit. Well, there's a lot of people go, oh, No, it says praying in the Spirit. Keep yourself in the love of God, waiting anxiously for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ to eternal life. And have mercy on some who are doubting. Save others, snatching them out of the fire. And on some have mercy with fear, hating even the garment polluted by the flesh. The other night when Pam and I went to Gordon and Sarah's, Gordon is crying and we're walked into Sarah's room and she's lying there and she was somewhat responsive and Gordon said, Keith's here, and she kind of cracked her eyes and I put my hand and on her shoulder and I turned to Gordon and I said, What does she want? What's the prayer? And Gordon says, I don't know. And I prayed in the Spirit. I went, I don't know what to pray. So I prayed in the Spirit. Now, after I did that, I said, Gordon, if it's okay, I want to pray a selfish prayer. But, you know, I pray that God would miraculously heal her so that she could be a testament to the world. So that she could rise from the bed and show how the power of God touched somebody that had been stricken down by the evil one, because greater is he that lives in us than he that lives in the world. And Gordon said last night when I talked to him, he says she was just ready to go. Now Jude says, now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling, to make you stand in the presence of his glory blameless with great joy, to the only God, our Savior, through Jesus Christ our Lord, be glory and majesty and dominion and authority before all time, now and forever and ever and ever. And it ends with amen, meaning that we would all agree. Now, Mom, if you're supposed to teach your children, if you are to learn how to praise and teach your children the importance of praising God, I know that in this room are all different denominations. You know, and someone said the other day, and it's true, you know, denominations, we had a pastor that used to say, you know, denominations actually mean nothing. When you're heaven, they come off. When you go to hell, they burn off, okay? So denominations don't mean anything. What means is your relationship with the Lord. So what's important is, now there are a variety of gifts. Now, God is not a respecter of people, okay? There are a variety of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are a variety of ministries in the same Lord. There are a variety of effects, but the same God who works all things in all people. But to each one is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. Amen. A lot of people go, why should I come to church? Because God has given you a gift that is for the common good of this church. Amen. Why do you have a gift? Because God has given you a common gift or a gift for the common good of your family. God has given us the tools of the trade. It says, but to each one is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good, for to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another the word of knowledge according to the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by the one Spirit, to another the effecting of miracles, to another prophecy, to another the distinguishing of spirits, to another various kinds of tongues, and to another the interpretation of tongues. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually just as He will. Everybody here's got a gift, and God gives it to you for the common good. The greatest challenge is that we're afraid to embrace. So, Mom, I want you to understand, first of all, that you are the glue that binds your family together. You are the one who teaches your family. You're the one who will teach your children. See, Spirit-empowered worship, and that's where we need to be as a church family, is about connecting with God. But when you come up here to church and you get on your knees, it's about connecting with God, not on your terms, but on His terms. You need to avail yourself to Him. But here's the piece that I think shows spiritual maturity, is that you can't build a fence around the specific experiences that make you uncomfortable. You know, everybody here at some point in time has felt a tug from God. Just got to tell you. You know, and it's only happened one time, but when I sat where Brother Mike was over there and someone gave a tongue in this room and I felt that I had the interpretation and I didn't give it, because I was afraid, because it says, thus saith the Lord. And for me to go, this is what the Lord says, is a big deal for me. So I was afraid to say it. My daughter has the gift of wisdom. She is a very smart individual, and I think she has the gift to distinguish spirits, because sometimes she will come to me and go, I don't know about that person, but something's not right there, and it comes to be that something is not right. Everybody here has a gift, but you got to learn and avail yourself to using the gift, because we need the gift. If you have a word of prophecy, then you need to come to one of the pastors to go, God wants me to say, and you share it with one of the pastors, and then we'll make it and avail it to the church. It's important, if God has given us something prophetic, to hear. Some of you guys have the gift of tongues and you're afraid to use it. Some of you have the gift of interpretation and you're afraid to use it. But see, when we worship, it is about honoring Him. That's why we do this. But here, Mama, is what I want you to understand, is that it is in the midst of worship where life changes begin to take place. See, if you and I had the boldness to get together and we really struggled and we're really going through a whole lot, and you know, I have been chastised because I have been so transparent to the church, but I got to tell you, if I want prayer, I'm going to call y'all and I'm going to go, will you please pray for me? Or I'll call you to the front to go, would you lay your hands on me and pray? Because it is in the midst of praise and worship that God shows up. And when God shows up, things just can't stay the same as it was. Romans 8 and 26 says, in the same way, the Spirit also helps our weakness. There are times when we go through life that life is just rough. You know? Connie and Leo and Nancy and Leon and the whole Cantu family's been up at the hospital with Mama Cantu. She's had surgery and had a gallbladder taken out, and now she's got an infection. And they've all been up there sitting by Mama. But it says, in the same way, the Spirit also helps our weakness. Sometimes we are just weak. What does the Bible say when we're weak? He makes us strong. See, we're not strong because we got a college education. We're not strong because we've gone to seminary. We're not strong because we've read the Bible over and over. The Bible says when we are weak and we can't go no place and we don't know what to do, in the weakness, God shows up, picks us up, and makes us strong. That's what God does. Because see, we don't know, the Scripture says, how to pray. And sometimes when we don't know how to pray, the Spirit comes in and He intercedes for us. The other day, Gordon was crying and he was just groaning. He didn't know what to say, but in the midst of his groaning, the Holy Spirit came in. And it says, and He who searches the heart knows what the mind of the Spirit is. See, when you and I search, that doesn't mean that you just kind of turn a book over. And I've joked about it before. If you lost $1 million in your house, are you going to open two or three drawers? Uh-uh. You're going to clean out every drawer you got. You're going to do it multiple times. You're going to sweep the floor. You might even tear down the walls, but you're going to find $1 million. And you and I need to treat God's word in the same way. We need to seek the Word of God, because what's in it is more important and more valuable than $1 million. But it says, for those who search the heart, because He intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. Church, we've got a God who loves us. We've got a God who knows that mamas don't fit the Proverb 31 model. That's not where y'all are today. But the Bible says, go out and train your kids. Go out and teach your children how to praise God. Because see, if a child is going through a tough time today, teach them how to praise. If they're going to take a test and they're scared, teach them how to praise God. If they're going through a circumstance, teach them how to praise God. If they're having a tough time in the family, teach them how to praise God. No matter what they're doing, teach them how to praise God. Because when God's in the picture again, God's going to change the situation. But our kids are afraid today to praise God. Oh, I don't want them to hear me sing. No, praise God. James 4 and verse 8 says, draw near to God, and He's going to draw near to you. Amen. Now, did you catch that? It didn't say God's going to draw near to you, and then you go draw near to Him. It says, you draw near to God, and God's going to draw near to you. And one of the keys that's important in this is, what do you expect? And what should we expect as a spirit-empowered individual when we come to church? Well, first of all, in worship, you ought to expect the passion of God. You ought to be able to sit down here in the midst of all of your praise and worship and feel the passion of our God. Amen. And then there has to be a deep desire to meet Him. Someone told me last week to go, I come to church, but sometimes I just come through to do the motions of coming to church. Well, if you come to church just to sit to come to church and there's no passion, I promise you're not going to meet God. There has to be a desire in your heart to meet Him. But there's also, church, there's freedom to express yourself in church. You want to raise your hands, raise your hands. You want to lie on the floor, lie on the floor. If you want to dance, then dance. But church, it's got to be a freedom where God can do as He wants with you. Not where you tell God what you want. You allow God to tell you what He wants, and then you go do it. Now, let me share some things with you, and I think most of y'all have seen this before. See, you're going to teach your children something one way or the other, good or bad. But mothers teach on a daily basis. First of all, you've heard this, they teach religion. You know, they go, you better pray that the stain's going to come out of that carpet. Or there'll be a little foresight to go, you better make sure that you wear clean underwear in case you have a wreck, okay, and you go to the hospital. Little irony about, yeah, you keep on laughing. Go ahead on. You keep on laughing, and I'm going to give you something to cry about. And then stamina. You're going to stay right here at this table till you get that broccoli down or till you eat the spinach. You ain't moving. And then weather. They teach us about weather. Boy, it looks as if a tornado came through this room. And I love this one, the circle of life. Boy, I brought you in, I'll take you out. And I like the behavior modification guys. It's like, yeah, stop acting like your daddy. You know? But with all that said, I want to end you with this. Here's the most important biblical teaching that you can give your kids is biblical truth. That you need to get with your children that they understand that the praise of God should be in their mouth. And that the praise of God is better than a double-edged sword in their hand. Because when God is with our children, no matter if it's a test, no matter if it's playing volleyball, no matter if it's swimming, no matter if it's driving a go-kart, no matter what it might be, when there is praise in the mouth of our children, and that praise becomes a sword in their hand, and if God is for them, then nothing could ever be against them. Amen. No matter the situation, no matter the circumstances, let their mouth begin to praise God. Amen. Give God a hand clap of praise.